Before we sing, I'm just going to point out something, Pastor, right before the offering. He said, praise God for our home in heaven, and the song that we're going to sing is Almost Home. We are almost home.
Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. You start to believe you don't have what it takes, 'cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead. Almost home, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild. Will be hard, but we win in the end, simply because of Jesus in us. It's not if but when. So take joy in the journey, even when it feels long. Oh, find strength in each step, knowing heaven is cheering you on. We are almost. with all your strength. Sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head, keep pressing on. We are almost home, almost home, almost home. I know that the cross has brought heaven to us. But make no mistake, there's still more to come. When our flesh and our bone are no longer between, we are right now and where we're meant to be. When all has been lost, is made whole again. When these tears and this pain no longer exist, no more walking, we're running as fast as we can. Consider this our second wind. Almost home, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head, keep pressing. Almost home, almost home, almost home. We are almost home, almost home, almost home.
Thank you, Owen, Laura. Great. Children's Church, you are dismissed to go. We're almost home. Thinking there of those lyrics, and Paul wrote there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, says that, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us." Hadn't even crossed our mind to be able to imagine everything that he has done for us there and prepared in heaven. The scriptures, it goes on to say, has revealed quite a few things about it, and it has, but not all. And it's a beautiful experience, I'm sure. And Abe Simon's first Sunday there in heaven today, we praise the Lord for that and for all that has gone there before us. Praise the Lord as well. And one day, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior for sure, one day you're going to go there as well. For when death takes place, it says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. One day, if the Lord does not come back first at the rapture, I'm going to lay in a casket right here in front of this church. But I want to remind you now what I hope you remember then. That I am not going to be here. I'll be there. And so the celebration of where I am is what I would prefer. And I think anybody that has that understanding of heaven would want that for those that are left behind. It's always tougher on those that are left than those that go ahead of us, as the poem says. Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Have you ever looked back on something that you did and you wish you had done it differently? Duh. Are you alive? Same answer. All of us have there. There's some things in my life that I look back on and I think I would make the same choice as I made back then. Vicky's not here. She'd be one of them, okay? my salvation. I would make the same choice. I pray today I would have my eyes open to make that choice. If I knew what I know now, I definitely would make that choice to receive Jesus Christ. I did it when I was 13 years of age, and I have not regretted one bit of it ever. And the sweeter as heaven becomes, the more even I look forward to it. my ministry, going into the ministry. I've not regretted, and it's something in which I would make the same choice. It's not always been easy, but it's always been blessed as God has done that. My children that I have, I would make the same choice to have children. I would have the same children. You know why? Because God had a plan, and God purposed that plan in giving me those children that God gave me. One lady was asked, she had a very difficult life growing up trying to raise her children, and they were given a hard time, and somebody asked, if you had it all to do over again, would you have children? And she said, yes, just not the same ones. But I would have the same ones, because I would want what God has taught me through each one of our children. They all have been different. They all have been some easier than others. But all of them are by God's design in my life, and I praise the Lord for that. Speaking of two of my grandchildren, my oldest and my youngest, my oldest is Sean. He's gone to the wilds with us the last few years, and he just last night won in a wrestling match. He is second in the state of Maryland in his weight class. A senior beat him out last night, but the senior knew something had a hold of him. And Sean's about 6'4", and a strapping young man. But praise the Lord for that. But even more, you know, I praise the Lord for my youngest one. Kayla just turned 6, and this past week the teacher had told Aaron to make sure that she was there on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, they had an awards ceremony for different things. And Kayla, at 6 years of age, got an award for respect. And respecting all of the teachers and authority there and the other students that were there, she was recognized for that. And let me tell you something, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, according to Solomon. And we have a testimony of that, and praise the Lord for it. It's not because of me, but it's because of him, and we praise the Lord that that we can see things like that. But everything of those things, I would choose to do it the same way and have the same ones and make the same choices. But it's also, as I look back on my life, there's some things that I wish I would have handled a little differently or made different choices. And I think that's where each one of us would look back and say, yes, I've been there and done that too. And it'd be nice if we had a reset button that we could push, but we don't. And but what is possible is that if at least to some degree, we would look ahead at some of the things that maybe we've learned a little bit in the past, that we made some tough choices or wrong choices, and start making right choices when those opportunities come back around again. And one of them in particular is concerning special services like we're going to have this next Sunday starting. And with that, I've heard many times people speak about special services, and they said, it went by so fast. I wish I would have, and then you fill in the blank there. There's a lot of different ones that I've heard of the wishes on there. In those special services, those revivals there. I wish I would have attended more. I wish I would have prayed more. I wish I would have invited some of my friends or some of my coworkers or relatives. Those type of things, we look back and we wish we would have done a little differently possibly with that. And it's true that you are busy and I'm busy. And coming to special services each night, Sunday night through Wednesday night, takes up time, and our bodies are tired. Revival is often something that's even temporary in itself. You know, revival is stirring up a spiritual fire that's within us. And that fire that is within us spiritually is like a physical fire. A campfire. And if you leave it alone, what's the tendency of the campfire? It's going to dwindle down. And you have to stir up those coals, stir up those flames again. Well, it's only temporary, so why bother? Well, Billy Sunday was given that excuse, and he says, I've heard that some people say that revival is just temporary. And he says, so is a bath, but it does you good. We may look, and excuse me, it's getting a little warm in here with this particular jacket on there. We may look at something like special services and the messages that are given and think, yeah, I may benefit from that, but it, you know, is it worth the time I have to spend and the effort I have to spend to get here? And well, I believe personally that it is. It does us good, and we need stirring. Not a one of us can say today, I am everything that God wants me to be, because we're not glorified yet. And God is still working on us, and we praise the Lord that He still wants to. And He uses evangelists and pastors and teachers in that process, according to Ephesians 4. And this evangelist that is coming, I believe, is called by God, prepared by God, and is coming on God's timing into our church at His directive. And I believe He will bring, I'm sure that He will bring God's Word with Him to preach and to teach while He is here. And we know that in doing that, God's Word is powerful and it is profitable unto us as His inspired Word to accomplish those things within us that He desires. And so we want to let that happen as part of our decisions here with revival starting. And in doing that, I believe we'll see what God wants to accomplish within us. 2 Peter 1:13, Peter said, "Yea, I think it meet, I think it necessary, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this fleshly body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." As long as God allows me to be in this tabernacle here as your pastor, I want to have evangelists in that will stir you up by putting you in remembrance of what God's Word is saying and doing and wanting to do in your life there. 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul said to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee." That stirring up of that flame, of that fire within us, it's needful because it naturally tends to die down. So God wants to stir up the spiritual fire that is in us. Revival without regrets is the title today. Let's ask God's blessing as He speaks on that particular subject. Father, we acknowledge that apart from You, we can do nothing. Lord, while we may know the importance of these things, I pray that we would be reminded of what You want to stir up within us. Just because we know something doesn't mean that we don't need it today. And I pray that You would help us to be honest with ourselves, that You would show us how You see us, and that we would respond appropriately. For us, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The first thing I want us to see here, there are four things I believe that we should do to have revival without regrets. The first one is that we should plan to come more. I think that's a given there. I've heard some that have said, "I wish I had started on Sunday and stayed with it every night." There are some that, for different reasons, make choices and they don't come back. And then they may have come back one time to Wednesday night or something and then thought, "Wow, you know, I've been missing out every night on what God has been doing here through us." Here in John chapter 20 that I ask you to turn to, if you remember, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and chapter 20 and verse 19 there. Let me see if I can get to it here. Then in the same day there, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." Here's after the resurrection, the day of the resurrection. And Jesus is coming and appears there to them. The doors are shut. He appears in the midst of them. And He says, "There, peace be unto you there." And they all see Him and rejoice to see Him after they understand what's going on. But look at verse 24. Verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." I think one of the saddest things you read in Scripture here, and you know, you go on with that and read down through there how that what's Thomas's name that everybody knows him by? Doubting Thomas. All because he wasn't there when Jesus came. When Jesus showed up, he was absent. My friend, let me tell you something. If God does a work in our church this week, will you be there? Or will you be hearing about it from others? Will you be a doubting Thomas yourself? You know, I don't think that Thomas was necessarily a doubting kind of a man totally. He followed the Lord Jesus faithfully during his ministry as one of his called ones. But just in that instance, he was not there, and it affected him. And we need to be understanding that we should be present when Jesus shows up, that we too can allow him to do that work in us and to affect us in that way in our lives. Not just for revivals, but every Sunday we ought to be present there. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard anyone on their deathbed say, "I regret going to church so much"? I've never heard that. On the other side of that coin, though, have you ever heard anybody say, "I wish I would have gone to church more"? I have on many occasions heard that kind of a statement. No one ever regrets doing what is right. Okay. It's the regrets that we look back on about decisions that we have made that did not or was not the right choice. That's the things that we have a tendency to regret. If we trust the Lord Jesus Christ there, we will not be disappointed. If we obey the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall not be disappointed. One of the commands that he wants us to obey is found there in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, where he says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Now that provoke, as I've said many times there, is not the negative part of it. Some people got that down real good. They're provoking all kinds of things. But it's that word there. It means to encourage, to try to get someone to do the loving of each other and the good works that is there. And verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another." And so much the more as you see the day of coming, the rapture getting closer and closer. God says there that we are to be encouraging one another. And we're to be doing it in the atmosphere of our assembling ourselves together here in church. And so it's that it's obeying the Lord by not missing being present in his house there for what he wants to do. And it's not just being in attendance. You can come every night of the week, but if you don't listen, you're not going to get anything. There must be a concentration there, listening more intently there, an effort to listen and understand. We are to receive the messages of the Word of God that is given unto us. We're to receive it not as a message from a man, but as a message from God as it's intended, because it's going to be supported by His Word. And when we receive God's Word that is with us there, we're to believe it, and we're to let it have its effect on us and changing us. And that's what we read in Paul's words there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in verse 13, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe." So they heard the word of God. They accepted it as from God, not just a man. And they believed it, and it had an effect on it. It had a powerful effect. Matter of fact, those words, "effectually worketh," is the Greek word energeo, which is that energy, that powerful working in the life. And that's exactly what the Word of God does, and that's what God wants to do. But we've got to be present, and we've got to be listening in order for that to take place. Secondly, we should plan to pray more. One of the things that I emphasize, you've heard me over the years, and I try to do it more and more, is that we need to be praying for these special services that come up. We need to be praying for revival to take place in our life. Excuse me. We need to be praying for people to get saved as the gospel is presented in these services as well. Pre-revival emphasis of prayer is important. Why? Because God said through 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then God would answer. Then God would send. Then God would, if we could put it in our vernacular here, God would send the revival. He would send His Spirit to meet with us and refresh us and stir us. It's been said that prayer is the hand that moves God. I believe that is true. God has designed it so. He has asked us, He has commanded us that we're to pray. He has warned us and reminded us we have not because we ask not. And so we are to, by faith, ask God for the reviving of our hearts that He may send that with us. The English Baptist preacher Spurgeon took visitors to the boiler room of his church to show them the power of the church. They opened the door. What did they see? There was a bunch of people on their knees praying. That's where the power of God comes from in the church. It's people meeting to pray. As people praying prior to, there's people praying just before the service starts there. So that God, as He begins to bring the message of the Word, may stir our hearts and revive us as He sees fit. Some may say then, I wish I would have prayed more. In order to reach the goals that God has for us, we must get on our knees. We can reach those goals in prayer. And God honors that. So don't give up on praying. Start praying now if you haven't already. Thirdly, and we should plan to invite more. Revivals, services come and they go so quickly. And there's good intentions. But sometimes those good intentions turn out to be missed opportunities. Have you ever wished that you would have invited someone to come and you didn't? I have. I have the, what did I do with them there? I have the little invitation things that I make there for the revival service. And I purposely hold some extra on my desk there and have it so that I can take and give it out to different people. And yet, it seems like every time I think of somebody else I should have invited. Good intentions sometimes are followed with missed opportunities there. Several people have said to me in the past, I wish so-and-so would have been here. Maybe their friend, relative, co-worker. Once these services are over, it's too late to invite them then. We need to do it now. And you do it like this. Would you come and sit with me? No, don't, not pastor. Yeah. In other words, you invite them to join you here. You know, I've had some people that have come and I go up to the visitor and I say, hey, it's good to have you with us. And said, yeah, I was invited by so-and-so. I was looking for them. Oh, and I just, because they didn't come that night. Well, they thought it was important enough to invite me, but they didn't even come. Wow. Let's invite them to come with us. And let's be here and encourage them to come and to sit with you. Make them feel welcome there. Do it there in the inviting of others there. And then last, we should plan to respond more. In revival services, many decisions are made every time that we have them. Some of them come to the altar. Some are made in the seats there. The ones that come to the altar, you say, boy, I know they were terrible sinners anyway, right? No. But you know something I do know? Is they're sensitive to what God is dealing in the heart about, whatever it is. Because I don't know what God is dealing with them about. That's none of my business. But I praise the Lord that God is dealing with something. And they're an encouragement to others and say, hey, you know, God is working. When my children were living with Vicki and I, they're all grown now. And I've got one fixed to turn 41. And my youngest is going to be turning, 27, 28, something like that. But when they were all living with us, I had a desire. My desire for them, whether it was going to the wilds and the messages there, or whether it was in church services or special meetings, my desire was always that they would listen and let God deal with their heart, that they would respond to the Word of God. And you know what God spoke to me about real quick after that? You better be open to the Word of God and respond to the Word of God as well. But that's my heart desire for myself and for my children and for my children, is that we would listen to God's Word and we would respond to what God is speaking to us and dealing with us about. An article was told of what they call the world's foremost authority on the subject of revivals and awakenings. His name was Dr. J. Edwin Orr. It says, in the early 1970s, when Dr. Orr was presenting a series of lectures on revival at Columbia Bible College, a student approached him and said, Dr. Orr, he says, besides praying for revival to occur, what can I do to help bring it about? And without a moment's pause, Dr. Orr glanced at the student and replied, you can let it begin in you. You know, that's where it comes from. We're to pray for revival. We're to invite people to come. We're to come ourselves. But revival starts in our own individual heart. As much as I want revival in you, I'll need to want revival in me. I need to desire it in me first. I want God to speak to my heart. I want God to stir my heart starting next Sunday. But he doesn't even have to wait to then. I don't say, Lord, you got to wait to next Sunday. Do it today if you want to. Because God wants to work to in and through us through his word. Years ago, evangelist Ken Lynch gave me a song. We've sung it a few times there. And the chorus, the message of it goes like this. Lord, send a revival, and let that revival begin, Lord, in me. Always like that because of that message. That's what it's all about. It starts right here in me. And for you, it starts right there in you. We're to pray for other people. But we're to be making sure first that that revival has started in our heart. It's kind of like what Jesus was talking about, helping another person. And can we see the pull out the little speck that's in their eye when in our own eye we got this great big log sticking there? How can we pray effectively? How can we encourage effectively someone else to have revival if we are not having it ourselves? If God is not working in us? And none of us can say, as I said earlier, none of us can say there's nothing else that needs to be worked on. Because that's just a testimony of our own blindness. God wants to work on every one of us. We might be right with the Lord and don't know of any outstanding sin, but we're certainly not completed yet. Even the Apostle Paul recognized that in his own life. I'm not apprehended to the goal of which Christ has for me, but this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm pushing toward the mark. I'm pressing toward the goal. That goal is Christ-likeness. And He wants each one of us doing that. Responding more to the Word of God. Jeremiah 8 and verse 20, it says there, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. What a regret. What is the regret there? The services came and the services left, finished, and I didn't respond. I did not benefit. Either I wasn't here, or wasn't listening, or wasn't looking for God to work in me. Make sure that you're open to respond however God deals with your heart there. So how will you look back after Wednesday a week from now, Thursday a week from now? How will you look back on these services coming up next Sunday through Wednesday? Come, pray, invite, respond. We all have choices we can make. Will we make the wise choice with the time that God has given us? Or will we look back and regret? I pray that we would all be wise to make the choices. Maybe you know already of some area that God wants and has been starting to work in your life today. Don't wait till next Sunday. Let's start working on it right now. Let God work in you. And He will continue to perform that good thing in you until the day that He takes you from this earth, or until the rapture takes place, the day of Jesus Christ. Will you let Him perform that? Every head bow, please. Why not yield to His will right now? Whatever it is. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, you mentioned about going to heaven and how great that's going to be, and how that you made a decision and you would never regret making that decision to trust Christ. But if you don't know exactly what I mean by that, you may walk out of here and not know the joy of salvation. Salvation comes not by being baptized, not by being a church member, not trying to do the good, all the good works you think you can do. There are many people in this world have those kind of ideas, but that's not what God's Bible says. That's not what God said. Jesus Himself said, I am the way. He meant the only way. The truth and the life, the only way to have eternal life, the truth about eternal life is Jesus Christ is the only way. Neither is there a salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself to be a propitiation for our sins. That is, to satisfy God's holy demand for the payment of sin. When Jesus Christ died there, the wages of my sin were paid completely. And all I have to do is believe that I was in need as a sinner, believe that Jesus Christ paid for that sin debt, and believe that He has given me a genuine offer that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I understand all of that and believe that, then I make a choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I make that choice to receive Christ, He forgives me of all of my sin. He extends unto me the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I am saved completely. I'm made a child of God forever. If you do not know that personally yourself, would you not make that choice today? Why would you put it off any further? Could I ask you today, every one of you, how many of you could testify right now and say before me by a raised hand, Pastor, I know that I have made that choice. I know that I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Could I see your hands all over? Thank you. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there anybody that would say, Pastor, I could not honestly raise my hand. I'm not sure if I've ever made that choice, but I would like to be sure today. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to pray your name out loud or point you out that way, but would you just indicate and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I've ever made that choice, but I'd like to be sure today. Anyone at all? For every one of us that have trusted Christ as our Savior, what is it that God brought to your mind today that He wants to work on in you? What is He dealing with right now? Would you be willing to say, Lord, I surrender to what You desire for my life right now? Whatever it is that God is dealing with your heart. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to just ask you to do this. If you'll deal with that, either where you sit or whether you come to the kneel here at the altar, you respond as we've seen here in just a moment. Father, I pray that we have done honestly before You an evaluation of our life to make sure that there's nothing that is outstanding between us that separates us from good fellowship with You. And for anyone that needs to make the choice of salvation, that You would impress upon them to deal with it today. May we leave out of here, Lord, prepared in our hearts for all that You will do starting next week in these services. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.